Hello, and welcome to another episode of Indie Darlings, the podcast where we discuss indie films. And today we have a very special guest, our own producer, Dave Christensen.
I'm back.
If you guys don't recognize that maniacal laughter, Dave was also a special guest last season.
Yeah, it was a fun time. What did we do last season?
We did the,
I totally blanked on that.
First Reformed.
That's right. It was a current movie that we did. Still think that movie got gypped when it came to award season this year.
I don't believe that's considered a PC term anymore. I believe what you're thinking is robbed.
Gypped?
Yeah, apparently it's short for gypsy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, good. Now I know.
Yeah, now you know.
So I'll say it got robbed.
It got robbed.
But I feel like eventually we're going to have to like take that away because robbers are going to...
Robs like that's against
I had nothing to do with the awards. All I do is sneak in the houses.
Hey, no. All robbers are... What accent is that?
I don't know.
Martin Scorsese-esque.
Brooklyn, yeah. New York. Very cliche New York. I do think it really got robbed this year. Or at least just... I wish that it would have gotten a little more nominations beyond just screenplay.
It's a pity because that was a really good film. But for whatever reason, there just wasn't that much heat on it.
Well, it got buried. It's like how If Beale Street Could Talk also got buried a bit.
Yeah, it was all about Roma, and then it turned out to all be about Green Book.
Yeah, which is
hilarious.
But it was also like the most obvious. Like, of course, the Academy is gonna fucking think. But I do want to be like, screenplay was the most baffling one. Like, Best Picture, I could understand from just going like, it's the Academy.
Yeah.
When I saw screenplay, I was like, I want to be like, who in the Academy's writing screenplays and voted for that thing to be the best original screenplay? That's insane.
It also makes me wonder, are they just not reading them all?
Sometimes I think it's just campaigning in the end.
Yeah.
Right? It's not really about the merit of the thing, I think.
Yeah.
But that's just going to happen with awards.
I think we're having what might be, in my mind, I view as a crash sort of year.
Most people have said it's definitely a crash year.
I'm referring to the film Crash that won Best Picture.
Over fucking Brokeback Mountain, which is insane.
Well, it's just like, I don't even remember what else was nominated, but I remember hating that film.
Yeah, it was not good.
It
had one good storyline, in my opinion, in it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Which storyline?
Matt Dillon.
Because
it was just the only...
That was hard.
It was rough to watch, and I think the acting is really good.
Yeah.
And it never made me go, like, I need to sympathize with this guy in a sense of, like, and I understood.
It didn't feel forced either.
Yeah, it didn't feel forced. It was like, yeah, he's a bad dude in a bad situation, and now he has to save a life. So it didn't make me go, like, well, that makes me forget about all your other things. It was just felt in the moment. But everything else felt so forced, especially the Sandra Bullock falling down the stairs, and that was insane.
Yeah, this movie had ludicrous. Oh, not this movie.
It had a lot of like
ludicrous was in it.
Oh, was he? I forgot.
Yeah. Terrence Howard looks at him. He's like, "You embarrass me."
Oh man.
Yeah.
I don't remember that much, and I'm pretty happy I don't.
Yeah, it's fine. You don't need to remember it. Okay, let's talk about a good movie.
Did you got to watch it?
Yes.
Full disclosure, I downloaded it. Uh-huh. I've seen it before. So I have seen this. I hate saying it, but I had to go torrent it because it is a hard fucking movie to find.
Yeah, I got lucky. I found it on a website called Vudu.
Oh, yeah, I know Vudu because I only have it because I have four movies that were part of that... whatever that Violet, like at one point there was like this company, I can't remember, instead of Blu-ray there was another Ultraviolet, that company, and they just shut down, but if you purchased anything on theirs, they put it on Vudu. So I can watch I can watch the Dark Knight trilogy and Steve Jobs on that.
I mean, I watched this movie. It did have commercial breaks, which was very jarring.
I'm sorry,
because this was not
that.
Formatted to have commercial breaks.
No, it's not a movie for that.
But it was a delight.
I'm very happy you liked it, because it's a movie I haven't seen since I watched the first time, but mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah.
And so right before you literally locked on the door, I had watched straight forward probably about almost 15 minutes of it. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, I just need to remind myself to make sure I don't speak out of turn.
Yeah.
I was just like skipping ahead to watch sort of key scenes.
Yeah.
And understand if I was right about my memory. And I was like, oh, I am right. Mm-hmm. And I watched the last scene, which made me cry just mm-hmm. watching it.
Oh, man. Okay. So The Wedding Banquet, 1993, and Ang Lee, he directed it. He also wrote it.
Co-wrote it. I think there's two other writers,
yeah, I think
right?
there's three writers.
Three writers, yeah.
Neil Perry and James Seamus.
I think one of them has written or worked with him before, continue to work with him. I'd like to look. I mean, I could be wrong, because I thought there was a writer he's been working with for years who also worked on Hulk.
I mean, I believe it. But I also read that Ang Lee, this is sort of based on, the first half of the movie is kind of based on someone that he used to know.
Okay.
Yeah. And this movie takes place in New York City in the 90s, and it's about a Chinese man named...
Taiwanese, I believe.
Oh, sorry, Taiwanese.
Because that's Ang Lee, he's Taiwan. Yeah. He's Taiwanese-American.
So there's a character named Wai Tang, who is a gay man living with his boyfriend, Simon, who is white. They lived together happily. He's a successful businessman. The only thing is his parents, he's not out.
It's like he's out in America.
Oh, yeah. No, he's out and about. But his parents keep trying to set him up with a bride to get married to have grandkids.
Which is a great device of like them sending them tapes. And it's like they send him cassette tapes.
Oh, yeah.
That's the narration from them or voiceover.
Yeah, it starts off with like his mother is explaining that she doesn't write letters. Instead, she records her letters on cassette tapes. Was this to save money or was it to... I forget what the reasoning was.
I don't know. I just think it's... I mean, I guess it was just be like a formal... A way to communicate, because international... Yeah, you're right. Like, probably an international call at the time.
Yeah.
Was really expensive.
Oh, yeah. That must have been crazy expensive.
Because I remember I called... This just brings up when I accidentally missed a flight coming back to the US from Barcelona mm-hmm. and I flipped out because I'd never done that mm-hmm. and I didn't know what to do mm-hmm. and I called my dad and it was a huge bill later because I had to call him and he's like, just go to the counter.
Oh, dude, I feel like crazy shit goes down in Spain. I remember my sister traveled by herself in Europe for the first time as a teenager.
Uh-huh.
Like someone snatched her wallet in Spain. And she lost her shit.
Especially if it happens to you for the first time, anything international freaks you out.
Oh, yeah, because you feel very vulnerable all of a sudden.
I immediately thought, I guess I can't go back home.
Yeah, because it has your ID, it has your mm-hmm. cards, it has, like, the idea that you can't, you're trapped there just sucks so hard. Like, it'd be one thing if you were out on the street right now and you lost your wallet, like, mm-hmm. well, I guess I'll just go home. But there it's like, oh, God. So
for the record, James Seamus also, he is who I thought it was. He's written almost everything that he has directed.
Wow.
Like they've been collaborating. I think that's probably a great thing because he's probably like, I'm aware, Ang Lee's maybe his first language is not
English
because mm-hmm. he's Taiwanese born American.
Yeah.
So he probably just has like a great collaborator mm-hmm. with him. You know what I mean? So he can probably translate and they can sort of like smooth out things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, okay. So this movie, I really like about this movie is it is about a gay man, but it's not just that, it's not centered around his homosexuality.
Yeah. It's not about, I think what we tend to do, and I bet especially I'm gonna out us straight audiences, we tend to gravitate by watching just only the minority movies that we tend to get at least told to watch tend mm-hmm. to be about how about their struggles, about their minority, their position as a minority, mm-hmm. or how us the non-minority accept them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, do you know what I mean? That sort of is the norm.
Yeah.
Whereas I agree with you. This movie is really just going, these characters happen to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a struggle, of course, of him not coming out with his mom. Yeah. But
I think it was a very, okay, so the way this movie starts off, it's him working out while listening to this tape of his mother talking.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was such an interesting choice because the guy who plays the lead character, White Tang, the actor's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Very handsome.
He's very handsome. He's very gorgeous. This was his first film. He was discovered on an airplane working as a steward.
Of course.
And he was so nervous that they had him have 3 hours every day of just coached acting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, I get it. That's terrifying because going from working as a steward to the star of an Ang Lee movie.
Yeah. Because even though this is like before Ang Lee is really hitting it, because his next movie after this is sort of what puts him really on the map.
Yeah.
I believe that's
Pushing Hands.
Pushing Hands before this. It's Eat, Drink, Man, Woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a big
That's
one.
The one that really, like, because, I mean, he went from that to fucking Sense and Sensibility. It's crazy.
That's right.
But if you didn't know how to act, just having a camera on you would be fucking terrifying.
Yeah, because even the smallest part, if you've never acted before, it can be nightmarish.
Yeah.
This
guy's been working because I just pulled him up, the main actor.
Oh, he's still working.
He was in the Meg.
I was going to say, I've seen the Meg.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
This guy is doing great.
I'm waiting for the Meg to hit HBO Go and then I'll watch the hell out of it.
I mean, you know what it is. Just enjoy the ride.
That's exactly why I can't wait for it to come on streaming.
I think they did a good job of the movie starts off with him working out, and I thought it was a good way to show how masculine he was.
Oh yeah.
And because then you cut to him living this happy domestic life with his boyfriend Simon, and so it makes them seem very like they're good, like they're fine, they're normal, nothing really to explain. But then the parents, they straight up just send a girl there to meet him.
Yeah. They're like, we found someone for you. We got her a flight and we're going to send her. And that's when I find that scene so wonderful. Mm-hmm. The scenes with that woman they send.
Yeah.
Because I noticed this, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but also what I loved about this movie is there's not really a negative voice towards homosexuality. Really.
No, there's
only
really
one moment where when Simon meets his friend outside and he's like, hey, we're like, you want to play basketball?
Yeah.
And they point out the two like very like conservative neighbors in a sense, even the way they're dressed is like traditional. And they sort of look at them.
Yeah.
And that's the only time where you're like, so it's like, it's almost like the movie's telling you like, we know that the world is that way, but this isn't that story.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they're not pretending like there was never an issue with homosexuals. Like, they still have their issues, but...
That's
not what the story's centering around.
Right.
He goes on a date with this poor girl who...
But what I was getting at is in that date.
Yeah.
So his tenant, who we've met already, who's
her name's Weiwei.
Weiwei, who's getting, I thought adorable every time they say Weiwei. I don't know why. It's just a perfect little name. And then she like teases him a little bit. I love their relationship about him being attracted.
She has like a crush on him.
Yeah. Almost has that weird thing where it's like a cliche, but also like that thing about like, oh, I'll turn you, you know? Mm-hmm. But... She's
gorgeous.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. All of them. The three leads are fucking gorgeous.
Everyone in this movie is gorgeous.
Yes. And she sees him out on this date and she gets very upset.
Was that her?
Yeah, that's Weiwei.
Oh.
Because that's why when she walks up, he's all, oh, you've got a new job. He didn't expect her there.
Yeah.
Because she at the time, before this prior scene, she was sad because she lost her job because immigration had shown up. And then he's like, oh, good, you got a new job. And then she's like, but I talked to Simon and he said you had plans today. And he didn't say it was this. What are you doing? So she was upset, thinking that he was cheating. He was cheating on Simon, but not with her. And it's a. I personally think the comedy in this movie is very good.
Yeah,
it's under. It's understated. Oh, no,
there's so many just solid jokes in this movie.
And moments are just. I think
it's, it makes it so rich and like gives it texture. And very fun to watch. Okay, so they have this misunderstanding because he sees her on a date, not realize, and yeah, like.
And then she outs him in front of that girl.
Oh, yeah. She's like, you told me you were gay. Yeah.
But what I love is that she does not get angry. That girl's not like, oh, no, I'm mad.
Oh, yeah. That girl reveals that she has a white boyfriend.
Yeah. She's like, hey, I get it. We're all doing her thing and having to deal with her parents.
Yeah. It's just so nightmarish. Like, they're both, both people are doing things that are just basically living a lie.
Yeah.
And just to please their Taiwanese parents. And then, okay, so, but then shit hits the fan. Wei Wei is getting deported.
Yes. And then Simon doesn't, Simon sort of comes up with the plan.
Simon comes up, the white boyfriend comes up with the idea that, okay, your parents.
White boy's always getting you in trouble.
I mean, salt and pepper were worried. But like they, okay, so he comes up with this idea that they should get married so Wei Wei could stay. Because, like, okay, so Wei Wei is, like, a tenant of his, a building that he's a landlord of.
Yeah, he, like, owns it. He's, all his money is getting there.
And, but his parents are also, like, they won't, they're relentless in trying to set him up.
Yeah.
So they think this is a way that'll appease both ends. And they're also friends with Wei Wei.
Yeah. Who's for, wait, sorry, who's friends with Wei Wei?
Sorry.
I just bleh.
Yeah, it's okay.
Had a fart because of an email came from work. I'll edit this out.
It's okay. It's okay. So they decide to get married and the parents are gonna come for 2 weeks.
Well,
they don't.
Well, this is the thing. The plan is what we'll do is you'll get married to Wei Wei. You'll just tell your parents that you met somebody.
Uh-huh.
And that will, and Simon thinks, oh, it's just going to calm them. Mm-hmm. They'll give up. They'll be like, he's happy. We'll leave him alone. But then it backfires because they call late at night,
which
I think is a great scene because it's him talking to his parents and then Simon just doing sort of domestic things like being and reading while he's waiting. And I just think the timing of that scene's so funny because he's like, he's going through that and finding out they're going to come for 2 weeks, but they're speaking in Taiwanese, which Simon knows a little of.
Yeah, and but he could tell something's up.
Yeah, and he comes back in. I love that scene because he's like, he gets off the phone. He's like, could you understand some of that? And he's, I can't remember what the exact, but he's just like, yeah. Like, it's just so, so good.
Okay, so his parents arrive, and they're very traditional Taiwanese parents, very traditional Asian parents. Because, okay, so they show up to meet the parents with Wei Wei, and she's stunning. Like, they, you see the camera pan up and down her. Like, she's stunning.
Yeah, and I like that pan because it's like, that's how the parents are seeing her.
Mm-hmm.
They really, they see her as a vessel for a grandchild.
Well, here's the thing. As they're walking to the car or whatever, the mother whispers to the dad, what do you think? And he's like, she'll be great for having sons or something.
Having children, she'll make great children.
Yeah,
or something.
and the mom's like, typical.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny.
It's just so, like, hook, line, and sinker. Like, they're so ready. And then, so Wei Wei and Wai Tang are like, we're just gonna have a civil ceremony, and then we're done. The whole time, though, Simon is still staying with them.
Yeah, he's just, like, sort of saying
that he's the landlord.
Yeah, he's the landlord, but they live and they also live, like, I guess he's staying at Wei Wei's place at some point. I forget because they have a phone call and I can't remember when that occurs.
Yeah, but he's still around.
Yeah. They have their first meal with Simon.
Yeah, and also, okay, so like when the parents are at their place, they give Wei Wei some like really nice gifts, like heirlooms, jewelry, pearls.
Yeah.
And then Simon gives him his boyfriend's parents' gifts, but they're so intensely thoughtful.
And what were they again?
One of them was a heart monitor, like a machine that you could measure your heart pressure on. And the other one was some Chinese medicine. But he explains what these gifts are in Taiwanese.
Yeah.
And I was just like, who the hell are you, man?
He's
like the world's best boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what they do so well, is that you realize that they have such a great, healthy relationship, him and Simon, and he's doing what somebody that wants to really, like, I love your son so much that I want to impress the parents. So he's doing what you would expect from him.
Oh, yeah. There's like a montage of him training Weiwei on how to pretend to be his girlfriend, wife.
His like witty comment about the polyester. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, yeah, can't get him to fucking like get rid of it or whatever. It's so funny.
Like, he only works out when he's angry.
Oh, yeah.
Or he only does this or on the couch where he always falls asleep.
And that's why they have too many pillows.
Yeah. And then, yeah. And he has to show Weiwei how to cook stir fry.
That's one of my favorite. Oops. I bumped my mic. That's one of my favorite like, this is like why I think this is a great indie film too. An example of like, work with what you have, because they probably didn't have a big budget. They have to shoot certain ways. And that kitchen scene where she's faking the cooking is perfect, because it's one shot. Mm-hmm. It's Simon cooking. Mm-hmm. She's on the counter or near the counter. Mm-hmm. And then they swap and and it's one shot. So as a viewer, you're like, oh, why are they swapping? And you're just listening to the dialogue and you realize he's coaching her as the mother walks into the frame.
Oh, boy.
And it's like, it's just like a perfect little like game that's going on. And then mom asks, like, she wants to set the table, and Weiwei points, but uses the like the spatula or the spoon that she's there with, makes whatever they're cooking like fly over it. And her mother sort of reacts to that. It's just a delight.
Yeah, there's just so, everyone's living a lie. It's so intense. Like, because the thing is, Weiwei, not only is she not really dating Wai Ting, she's also not really a typical Taiwanese woman. Mm-hmm. She's very independent. She's a painter. She's not conservative at all. She doesn't cook. She doesn't know how to cook. She's just, on the surface level, she looks like she'd be a great wife.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we're covering all of this, but then that's what slowly starts to erode with hers. They're going towards the wedding banquet. Mm-hmm. Is that you realize that she actually wants a real healthy relationship. She wants what they're the facade.
Yeah.
And it starts to crack. I mean, God, when you get to, like, that phone call to her parents the wedding day is rough, because she's already crying before she talks to her. That performance is so good.
Okay, we should probably explain. So they tell their parents over breakfast, oh, we're gonna get married tomorrow, and they're just like, what?
Yeah, they're like, nah.
No, they're like, you should have a lavish wedding, and they're just like, no, we're just gonna have a civil ceremony. And they go to court, they have this ceremony, and his mother bursts into tears. She's so ashamed and embarrassed. And so they go to dinner, and it turns out the restaurant is owned by a friend of the father, who's like a general. He was a general in the army, and he's very well respected. And so when he finds out that they just had like a shitty court ceremony for a wedding, he's like, at least let me throw you a wedding banquet.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden they're going to have the most lavish wedding banquet.
Yeah.
With like just 100 of their closest friends.
It's wild.
It's so intense. Like, oh man, the level of, I've never been to a Chinese wedding, but I do know they like a lot of red, a lot of gold, a lot of money. And, they pull all the stops. Like, they get photos taken, like professional photos. Oh, what a nightmare.
It's so lavish. And it's like and it's fun to see like traditions that you're not familiar with getting displayed. Mm-hmm. Like, There's so many funny moments, I think, through The Wedding Day that just are like very specific because they're just pulling from Taiwanese culture. Mm-hmm. Like, the morning of, his parents are very goofy with him. They're like treating him like a child and like biting him.
That was a wonderful scene. Yeah. Okay, so his parents are talking, like they're sitting on either side of him and they're just like, you were so chubby. Like, I was going to eat your arms. I'm going to eat your arms. And the mom starts chewing on his arm. It's so sweet and it feels so real. You know it was based on something specific.
Yeah, I agree. And then, and it also plays into his like, sort of his physique and like, mm-hmm. that's a good characterization to find out like that's where he came from.
Yeah, because like, they're just like, they're like, it happens so fast. Like you're getting married. I feel like just yesterday you were learning how to talk.
Yeah, it's beautiful scene. Mm-hmm. And then when they're doing I can't remember if this is before. I think this is at before the pictures. Mm-hmm. They're doing like some traditional thing where they have to go greet the parents.
Oh, yeah.
This is right after the phone call.
Yeah.
Which I love because she's crying. She's talking to her parents. She can't share with her parents that she's getting married.
Yeah, because they're going to be like, what is happening?
Yeah, because it's a facade. And then she's like, he tries to talk to her and she's like, I'm getting ready. You get ready or whatever. She's like, I'm fine. I'm up. Well, because I'm up. You get
ready. So the father gives this really impassioned speech. Okay. So in Asian weddings, this is a little different, but I've seen this in Korean weddings. There's a ceremony where the bride and groom bow to the parents, and that this is followed by there's a lot of fertility ceremonies. There's one in particular where in Korean weddings where the mother-in-law throws as many acorns as she can onto the dress and the bride is supposed to try and catch it. And that's how many sons she's going to get.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of these,
I was stunned by that.
Yeah. A lot of these, ceremonies felt very familiar and I was just like, oh wow, this is so lavish now that I see it through these eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the father's giving this very sweet, impassioned speech during the bowing ceremony. And Wei Wei just, it's something like heaven determined you two are going to be together. And she bursts into tears.
Yeah, like she freaks. And what's wonderful is to all of them, they just think it's an emotional reaction.
Yeah, just a nervous, happy bride.
We're like, no, there's so much more here.
Oh, yeah, like it's just, she's living the biggest of lies. And for them, yeah.
But then it's so funny that the mother's like, no, you can't cry right now because you'll ruin all the makeup.
She literally plugs her tear ducts with her thumbs.
And they walk her out.
Yeah, she's like, no, 3 hours of makeup. And then they walk her out. And I was just like, yeah, that's a wedding.
Yeah, it was, that moment is, everything about that is brilliant.
It's so intensely real. And I just, okay, so,
So at this point too, that Simon and him have already having some issues because that night before
they're starting to fight. Yeah,
like he even I think this is the night of the, does this scene happen? So you can correct me if I'm wrong. When he accuses Simon of possibly having an affair, is that before the wedding or? I think that's before, right?
I think it might be.
Or is it after?
I think it might be after.
I think you're right. It might be after. It's when they after. Let's talk about the wedding bake and then we'll get to that. But they're still like, he's having a hard time either way. Cause they do the phone call and he's like, I wish you were here. And that's the night before the wedding. Mm-hmm. And it's already there. Things are rocky. They're not seeing each other. They're a fucking couple.
That's pretending not to be a couple.
It sucks.
And it goes on for like 2 weeks. And okay. So, they have the bowing ceremony. She starts crying. And okay. So they have this dramatic wedding, lots of photos. This made me so aware how there's so many traditions just within a wedding that are awful.
Yeah.
Like the one where this one kind of I could relate to. You know when the bride and groom come to your table and everyone bangs on their glass with the spoon or something? And that means you guys have to kiss?
Yes. Ugh.
Oh, my God. Even for the actual ceremony, he pecks her on the cheek.
Yeah, you're like, woof.
And then everyone's like, give her a real kiss. And so he gives her like this dramatic kiss that you could tell like she felt, but he was just like, are you happy? Like,
yeah.
Oh, that was so torturous. And there's so much like ancient human level of like fertility, do it. And I'm just like, this is so weird.
Yeah, it's been in our, it's still in our culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still around of like what already home, not homegrown, but like from birth, you're told what your purpose is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you just got to do these things and that's all that's expected of you.
Yeah. And it's like a job in front of everyone, you know, like just like yelling at you to keep doing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nightmarish. And
totally.
They have these so many. Oh, there's this fun moment where he has to kiss. He gives her a kiss. When he gives her that dramatic kiss right afterwards, his boy Simon wipes his mouth.
Yeah, there's a lot that's just like, yikes.
I mean, and there's this part I don't recognize where they have to bite. I thought it was a pig's foot. It might be a Taiwanese thing.
Yeah. Is it like, are they passing it? What do they do? I can't remember.
It's hanging on a string, and I think it's a fried pig's foot, and the bride and the groom have to bite it.
Yeah. I mean, it's so many just different traditions. I mean, you could equate that to a very American wedding where they have to fucking feed each other the cake.
Or the garter thing, which they also did.
Yeah. They do so much, and then they get into all those games.
Oh, yeah. They have a thing where they have all the men line up and kiss the bride, and she has to guess who.
Yeah, fucking wild.
It's so intense, and I'm just like, oh god, this.
And then they're drinking on top of all that.
Oh yeah. Oh, and he says I'm a lightweight, and I was like, oh, this is not going to end well.
No,
as
not
an
at
Asian
all.
Who is a lightweight, I'm just like, oh god, a wedding. Here we go.
And Wei Wei is emotionally broken at this point, and then starts to drink.
She is a loose cannon.
Yeah.
They think they made it to their room, and then someone knocks and says room service, and before he can stop her, he's like, no, don't. Literally all of the entire wedding party runs into their hotel room.
Yeah, this is where I think it's so intense and so telling of like, because it doesn't feel like it makes me go like, whoa, this is just a cultural thing.
Well,
traditional, like you're just going to party with them, because it doesn't ever feel like you could easily do this wrong and make it look like duck fucking soup, like the fucking Marx Brothers with how many people are in that room.
Yeah.
But you're just like, it so feels so real, because you can tell, again, as you mentioned before, pulled from a real experience, from like, oh, this is how weddings go.
And when we say the entire wedding party explodes, I mean, they brought red lanterns, tables.
Yes.
There are people playing mahjong.
They bring the party into their
They're room. Smoking and like gambling and drinking. Meanwhile, the couple is literally in bed. And so they're like, we'll leave when you guys play this game where you have to take every stitch of clothing off and then we'll leave.
Yeah. And like they put them under the sheets and they're like, until that happens, we're not leaving.
I felt violated by that game.
You should feel violated by that game.
It feels so awful, and just,
and it's on top of like, there's a part of you that's like, yes, it's awful, but there's a part of you that goes like, okay, if you're a loving couple and those are just your like closest friends, maybe you're like, cool, we can leave. Mm-hmm. But then you add the layer of like, this is a facade. Mm-hmm. And then at this point, Simon has been sent to drive fucking them parents
he drives
home.
The parents home. Yeah.
So he's upset. He's driving them home, and he's left them to do this facade, but now they're drunk and now they're naked, going to be naked and under a sheet.
And sure enough, Wei Wei mounts Wei Tang and they have drunken sex.
Yep. It was bound to happen.
And the parents actually, the father, he drinks a lot. He drinks so much that they end up staying longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And
because he had a stroke, so he's, you know, they're watching his health.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a moment earlier when the dad first arrives where he's like slumped in a chair, and for a good minute, you think he's dead.
Yeah.
And he checks his breathing and everything, but he's alive. But it just makes you aware that the dad's fragile.
Yeah.
Okay. So, sure enough, Wei Wei's pregnant.
Which is crazy, but it's so like, of course, that it didn't even seem far-fetched, because you hear that story all the fucking time of like, the first time you do it, you get a disease or you get pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Simon does not know. Oh, this is when Simon goes out late and stays out late.
And that's where they have that really hard conversation, and he accuses him of like, are you having an affair with Weston? And he's like, okay, you better stop now, because I can't handle your shit. Mm-hmm. And like, you're crossing a line.
Oof.
It's and it's like, it just, again, it's a moment where I just go, this movie is so good because you just started somewhere else and you never leave. The movie never, the moment like this, I mean, it's so, what I'm saying is just obvious. It just feels so in the same where you started, even though it's going into a heavier place, it never feels like you're watching a different movie.
Which, oh no.
You know,
yeah.
you've watched a movie where you're like, cool, this feels like it turned into another movie because it wanted to change tone.
No, the tone never changed.
Yeah.
Okay. So, things are not good between Simon and Y-Tang. And then Wei Wei, realizes that she's pregnant. And it's very clear when they're having sushi for dinner and she all of a sudden doesn't want it and is like disgusted by it. And I forget how, but someone blurts it out during dinner and then Simon flips the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because that means they had sex and they had unprotected sex.
Yeah. It's, and you didn't talk to me. You didn't tell me. Mm-hmm. And is that before?
I think it's...
Is that before or after the accusal of an affair? It's like, you are double down, like, fucked up.
Yeah, because both of you are not being straight with each other, and it's just...
And before, it was a very open and healthy relationship.
Oh, yeah. But now things are strained. They're keeping secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot to mention this. Right after the drunken wedding night, when he has sex with Wei Wei, he drunkenly kind of drives to find Simon... And aggressively tries to have sex with him.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. And they're about to, but then they don't realize the dad's home.
Yeah.
And they stop before they get caught. But, like, he's recklessly driving because he's still kind of drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just like, I got to find Simon.
Yeah. Because they're just like, you can't keep this. Lies eat us alive.
Yeah. I just I had to wash that woman off of me. This is something I wrote down. There's lots of shots of eggs getting cooked.
I think that is a thing, which I think will become even more from, I'm going to be full disclosure. I've never seen Eat, Drink, Man, Woman.
Mm.
Never been able to find a copy of it, sadly.
Huh.
On like, or at least at ease, maybe a library, I could easily get it.
Yeah.
But I think it's a thing that he just likes to display culturally that's a big part of is food.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, gradually making its way in, and then I think with that it's like it hits, you know what I mean, because that movie's around, like, from what I know, it's like a guy that runs a restaurant that has like three daughters and so forth.
Oh yeah, well, and the guy that plays the father in this plays the father in Eat, Drink, Man, Woman.
Oh yeah, so he's using the same repertoire.
Yeah, he plays, yeah, it's interesting because he makes a very convincing chef in that movie. The dad has another
it's fertility.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's fertility. It's
like she's struggling to cook the egg.
Yeah, and that's a whole thing. They're culturally telling him that you're supposed to be able to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
The dad has another stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And then Y-Tang just comes the fuck out of the closet.
That scene is so good, where she's sitting in the waiting area of that hall, and he has just to come out. Mm-hmm. Oh man, it feels so real because she doesn't get it immediately.
Yeah. Yeah,
it takes him to have to like, and that has to be hard for somebody to like to feel like something that is essentially a core of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're treating it one like a secret, which that's horrible. You have to do it in the first place, but then to have to like keep like sort of like. Repeating the thing more than once because the person you're trying to tell doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Oh, so I mean, he hits the wall. He's so frustrated.
Yeah, it's just, it's too much for him. He tells his mom everything and she's just like, don't tell dad.
Yeah, and I think that conversation again is just so good because you see her be like trying to understand and like even give it because she doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Which is, on one side of the coin is valid because you're not homosexual yourself.
Yeah.
And
just people don't know that much about it. Like she talks to Wei Wei about it being like, maybe this is a fad or
yeah.
something.
I mean, she literally says to him in that conversation, she's like, Simon like led you astray. And he's like, no, that is not it at all. This is who I am. I was from the time I was born.
Uh-huh.
She's like, you were with these women. He's like, that's what guys did. Yeah. I had to play that game in a sense.
Yeah. Cause she points out that he had girlfriends in college and he's like, I was supposed to.
Yeah.
And that was so sad.
This movie's so deep and just our culture, culturally, what we're expected.
Well, here's a little tidbit I failed to mention earlier. When the dad first comes to visit, he mentions when he was actually supposed to be in an arranged marriage.
I was going to bring that up near the end as well.
But he ran away and joined the army. And then the war broke out and most of his family got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out he was like one of the only ways that the family line could continue.
Yeah.
And so he felt all this pressure to keep the family line going. And then I'm sure Y-Tang hearing this is just...
And it's such a perfect scene because it's not weighted. When he delivers that information, you can tell in his performance he cares about that and it means a lot. But it's not like the film is trying to tell you, like, this is important.
Yeah, it's like the big reveal.
It just colors everything from the father.
Yeah, it's just something that happens to be part of him. Okay, so here's something that's kind of nice, though. After he comes out to his mom and she's just like, do not tell your father, it would kill him. You see the mom start asking Simon questions.
Yeah.
Like she wants to know about, she doesn't speak English. So she's asking through Weiwei, like, mm-hmm. how many siblings do you have? Where are you from? Where'd you grow up? And it's very sweet because she's realizing that's his true love.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to know who her son's sharing his life with.
Yeah. I think that just kicks in and shows what a real mom really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like she's starting to realize, that's it. She's starting to see it as legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
There's this scene that made me laugh. They have dinner. The father's back home and everyone's like done eating. He's like, I'm going to do the dishes. And everyone just gasps. Here's the thing. My dad is Korean, and if we had dinner and he offered, he's like, I'm going to do the dishes, everyone just be like, what? Because that's just like the Asian culture. It's just the patriarch of the family washing the dishes is just so, that doesn't make sense. He probably doesn't know how.
Right.
Like even putting the dishes away, he wouldn't know where they go.
You're like, huh?
Yeah. Like I remember when I was like 11, my dad, he would start handing me cups and stuff to put away. Like, he's like, I'm finished with this. And I'm just like, I'm supposed to put this away.
That's wild. I think I mean, there's a little bit of that probably in my, I mean, I don't remember ever watching my dad do the dishes growing up.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now I think he can clean it. But like growing up, it seemed like it was very like mom does that.
And then he tries to do the dishes and he breaks one. He does not know how to do it. And I was curious, why do you think he just suddenly decided he was going to do the dishes?
I wonder if it's a little bit of him and his death wish. Also, or not death wish, that's the wrong way to put that. Like having faced death a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
it could be a different thing coming around of him trying to change and maybe, you know what I mean? Realizing, mm-hmm. I need to experience this. Or you could, if you track it from the last moment of this movie,
mm-hmm.
I think he knows earlier than we all think.
Yeah.
And so you could be part of that, of him going, of way of like this, the writer saying, or like the film sort of showing, or his way of, poetically showing him his attempt to change and understand.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like him trying to see a different point of view, which would be for him to mm-hmm. the first step would be like, well, let me try to do the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
That's my, if I'm going to,
I kind of thought that too.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the parents are getting ready to leave and then Simon says he's going to leave too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is devastating.
Yeah.
And then at this, I think after Y-Tang came out to his mom, I think everyone's starting to reveal who they really are.
Yeah.
Weiwei, she returns the gifts that the mom gave her.
Mm-hmm.
And she also decides that she's going to have an abortion. Yeah. And the thing is, like, Y-Tang, he seems saddened by this.
Yeah, because I think it goes back to that father thing and what he can, what that baby child can bring. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's, it's like, even though it was a mistake and it's now, there's a bunch of, it's fucked up a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. In a sense, it's brought a gift that makes his father happy. In
yeah,
his
like
parents.
It makes his father happy, and it's just like, you have a baby.
Yeah.
Like in spite of all, like he did cheat on Simon, but in spite of all that, like he has a baby.
Right.
And then now she's saying, well, first she's also said she's going to go back to China.
Yeah. She's ready to go.
Like she's pulling the plug on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Wai Tang, she asked him for a ride to the place to get an abortion.
Whew.
I know, it's just so hard. And, but that thankfully there's this wonderful scene where you see the father and Simon hanging out,
mm-hmm.
and he hands Simon a birthday gift, and he reveals that he could speak English, which is so insane, because when Simon found out that Wei Wei was pregnant, they have like a full on screaming match in front of the family.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, they don't speak English anyway. Like, how could you cheat on me? Da, 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 da. And then it's like, oh, shit, this whole time they knew.
He knew. Yeah. And,
well, if the father knew, the mother.
The father.
Didn't.
We don't, probably the
mother,
not the
mother. The mother didn't know. But
he could have easily learned in the army or something.
Yeah. And he could have. The gay lover was there the whole time.
I think it's a lot of fun thing. Like, and we're going to continue talking about this movie because I could keep talking about it. But, like, that's what I think is fun is, like, this movie's addressing things where, like, culturally what we expect of people and uh-huh. what we assume they are as well. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the expectations. This is all assumptions. So when your grandparent or your older parents show up, we assume certain things. We assume they don't get it because they're at a certain age.
Yeah.
They'd only know Taiwanese so that we can do this. So we just get comfortable with what the position we put them in or the role.
Yeah.
So it's fun to have that get broken.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, he knew.
Yeah. And also like seeing them basically kind of living together, like how could you not pick up on it?
Mm-hmm.
But what's so interesting is that he says, don't tell the rest of the family.
Yeah. What is very interesting because like, why would he? It's like, it's very interesting. He wouldn't want them to know.
Yeah.
Because it's his little, it's everybody has their secrets, I guess.
I know. And I'm like, but the mom knows. And then it's just so like they all secretly know.
Yeah.
It's so strange. But yeah, I think he thinks, well, what's interesting is that the way the parents treat gays, it's not a matter of like, oh, that's wrong or you're perverted. It's a matter of like, but we want grandchildren.
Yeah. Exactly.
That it's very practical. Like we need to continue the family name.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with, oh, what you're doing is a sin or anything like that. It's just, we need grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they're getting one. So, last minute, Wei Wei, decides she wants a burger and to also keep her baby.
Yep.
I mean, that was a very sudden turn of events.
Yeah, very. You're just like, whoa, you're on a roller coaster of those moments.
Like, part of me wonders, like, what made her change her mind?
I guess, I don't know. I mean, what does she say in that burger, that scene?
She is saying that, like, he's like, do we have time for a burger? Isn't your appointment at this time? And she's like, I want to eat and feed my baby.
I think it's just, sometimes I think those are, I don't need to know why. Mm-hmm. Cause I think that's a human thing
uh-huh.
where we tend to be like, no, I'm doing this.
Uh-huh.
But then the time between the time of going
mm-hmm.
to do it, you decide, oh, this isn't what I want.
Mm-hmm.
What I want is a fucking burger mm-hmm. so I can feed this child that I've decided I really do want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know what I mean? Sometimes I don't need them to be like, here's laid out in a perfect way.
Yeah.
It's more of just like, that's not, I want, I'm going to choose this. And mm-hmm. I think that's in corresponding also with everything sort of like the walls or the facades falling away.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're finally getting to be truthful and then you're getting to like, that or she's finally, well, the truth is all along, that's what she wanted.
She did want a baby.
She wanted a traditional relationship. She wanted mm-hmm. to be independent and an artist, but she also really did want, she was sad that her family was around and she wanted to have her own family.
Yeah. Oh, and she asks Simon and Whiteang to both be dads to the baby, which mm-hmm. I thought was very sweet.
Very sweet.
And he's very touched by this. So it looks like, oh, and before they leave, they give him their wedding album. And you look through the photos.
This is at the airport, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they're like dining at the airport. What a fun time that was. casual dining at an airport. Wow. The speed of an airport. I would never even dare do that.
But they go through the wedding album and in every single photo, there's barely any photos where it's just the two of them.
And Simon's always present.
Simon's always there.
And then you get to that last one where it's like, you have like the traditional wedding and then there's that one where like, it looks like they are two grooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like the three of them got married.
And their mother's like, because she still thinks the father doesn't know.
Yeah. And then they have as they're walking away from them, to go get scanned by TSA, they both start tearing up, but because they're happy this time.
Yeah. I love the moment before that, especially when they're saying their goodbyes mm-hmm. and the father tells Simon, thank you for taking care of their son.
Oh,
I think God. It made me cry. I didn't even watch the whole movie this time around. And I thought, making me cry now. Because I just think you watch that, they just get to that place mm-hmm. of just like, wow, like, I mean, granted, you could literally tell me this is a fairy tale version of this story, but it's like, yeah that's what movies are. I'm sorry. But like, everybody got what they wanted. They had to go through a lot of shit to get it, mm-hmm. which is, you could also argue that as life.
This movie has, a lot happens, but there's so much joy in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many jokes too. Like there's a part at the wedding where you see the guests and they do a speech and someone's like, Gao wedding? I was supposed to be at the Chen wedding. They're like, oh, that's upstairs. He's like, oh. And he keeps eating.
Yeah. It's like, of course.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm at the wrong Taiwanese wedding.
That's so funny. I even love when you introduce Wei Wei and our lead, what is his name again? God, I just blanked. Whiteang. When Whiteang leaves after speaking with her and like she sort of opens up about her being her financial problems mm-hmm. and she's just like, tell Simon that, you know, like he's so lucky to have like a hot, like attractive boyfriend, a good boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to have one too. And he like looks up at her and she like gives him the kissy. She's like, and like, it's just funny. Like, cause it's just like, it's funny to watch her just sort of poke at him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think, and that's what I think also that humor and that relationship's what makes you believe that they would even do this sort of like
mm-hmm.
this facade.
Yeah. And they definitely, I think they do a really good job of establishing their type of relationship. Uh-huh. Like they are connected by being landlord and tenant, but they're much more than that. And there's like, there's attraction there, but there's also real friendship there.
Yeah.
Because they do want to help her when they find out she's getting deported.
Yeah, totally.
And there's just so many ranges of emotion. Like people go from wanting to let's just get through this to I'm not sure what I want anymore.
Yeah. And I think what I love about it is it definitely has that like look of a 90s movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it like low budget, specifically low budget, like mm-hmm. 90s movie, but it does not bad.
No, I think considering it had a low budget and it is the 90s, but I thought it looked good.
I agree. I think it looks good, but I also love that it proves that you don't need to be flashy to mm-hmm. to convey those emotions. Because I think we tend to sort of lean towards movies like, and then this is just on the top of my head because it was up for an Academy Awards this last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like A Star Is Born is so heavy on like what you're supposed to fucking feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very stylized, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like every shot has to look a certain fucking way, which is part of cinema. But I also like, you get other movies like this where it's like, no, we're doing it in such a low grade, what people would call low grade way. But it's like, man, mm-hmm. they're conveying everything. mm-hmm. and they get you. They mm-hmm. get your fucking heart going.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of me was like, when I started watching this film, I'm like, oh, this is just like another version of The Birdcage. But no, there's so much more here. It says so much about Asian culture, the pressures that they put on the kids and the parents. And then on top of that is just like the weird complications of like what types of families people want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so hard.
And do we only have one white lead?
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Yeah. From the 90s. Mm-hmm. I think these...
And he speaks Taiwanese.
Yeah, exactly. I think movies like this make me sad that more people don't know about them.
Yeah.
Because I love that we're like sort of in this era right now where we're calling out that things are so white. Mm-hmm. But then I don't like that we're sort of forgetting that there's movies that in the past that need to be uplifted mm-hmm. and showcased to say, hey, I know we're saying it can work now, but it has worked in the fucking past.
Yeah.
And I think we need to point that out too.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm like so sad I didn't know about this film.
I'm lucky that I was shown, I think, in a film and culture class. Mm-hmm. I think film and culture.
This was on the list of like 1,000 movies to see before you die.
Ugh, I'm glad it's on that list.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, this movie's great.
God, Ang Lee just has such a great career after this. And I'm so happy because yeah. he's such a great director.
Mm-hmm. The lead, Wai Tang, that's his character's name. Winston Chow, he went on to have a great career. He was in The Meg.
I love we're using that as like,
well
you got in The Meg, man. You did it. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you probably made a shit ton of money.
I'm going to butcher his name. Sai Hung Lung. He is like in a lot of Ang Lee movies.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that before that, he was known as like a mobster actor.
Really?
Yeah. So like he had like a second life as an actor playing like these sensitive fatherly roles.
Wow. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a fun, I love when like somebody, I mean, it's always great to hear mm-hmm. that somebody has like, you got in doing a certain thing, but then when a director is just smart enough or a casting director is smart enough to go like, no, they can be this other thing.
Yeah. Like all of a sudden they have a second life. Oh, and the actress who played Wei Wei, Mei Qin, she is a politician now.
Wild. Where? Do you know where?
In China.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. She retired from acting and went into politics.
Amazing.
Yeah. What movies would you recommend based on this?
What would I recommend? I mean, I'm going to just, the broadest one, I'm going to go broad and then try to go specific. Mm-hmm. I think you should just go through Ang Lee's catalog. I think he is just brilliant. And I think he just proves that like these early movies that he's pulling from his personal experience, but then he jumps into other, he can tell other stories. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like he goes and tells stories about terrible like white suburban households and the ice storm and, you know, and he's all over the place. Then he comes back to
Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. He did The Hulk, which I love because it's just insane. And I love
this. I did not see that version and I kind of refused to.
I think the swings Ang Lee does are awesome. He just goes for it and I think it's brilliant. I would say guilty pleasure because I don't think it's without its flaws.
He's done
but I
so
love
many
it.
Other great but again, films, I think, Dave. He did Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, I get it. Brokeback Mountain is, I don't know. I mean, if I had to like, it's up there. It's up there. I think it's one of the greatest.
But
it should have won fucking Best Picture.
Brokeback Mountain's fine, but it's just like naming the Hulk when you've got Crouching Tiger, which was one of my favorite movies.
Well, I think that's brilliant too.
Sense and Sensibility.
I think Hulk is underrated because I think Ang Lee takes great swings, especially in the culture at the time of those early 2000 superhero movies.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and was like, I'm going to fucking Ang Lee the shit out of this thing.
Have you seen Taking Woodstock?
I have not, unfortunately.
That's the one with Dimitri Martin, right?
Yeah, I never saw it.
I never saw it either.
There's two movies that definitely of recent I have not seen of his. I think Lost Caution is a must watch.
Oh yeah, that's a gorgeous film.
And wow. And it's like a movie where I'm like, this sex is insane, but it's telling the story. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, can't argue that that is not part of the story that they're telling. That thing, I mean, I'm really just going to boast watching that. I mean, if you want to, I mean, movies are about from the 90s that I love that are like about sort of the same thing. I immediately look of it, even though it's, this movie is visually, of course, different, but it still has that 90s feel. Do the Right Thing. I think it might be late 80s.
I think that's 80s.
It might be late 80s. But I think Do the Right Thing is just...
I would recommend In-N-Out.
Oh, that's the one with Kevin Kline?
Yeah.
That's fun.
And Joan Cusack. That's an amazing... That's one of my favorite films.
I saw in the movie theater with my parents. We loved it.
You saw with your parents.
I saw, like, growing up, saw everything with my parents.
I would see... the internet recommends 4 Weddings and a Funeral. I could see why they say that.
I see why you say that.
Yeah.
I think... I mean, that movie's good from what I remember watching it.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember a lot of it. Uh-huh. I guess it doesn't stick with me like this, where it's just so much... Like, there's so much... Layers, so many layers and things they're discussing without throwing it in your face, I guess. God, I mean, what else would I suggest that are around a wedding banquet?
We've definitely done more than 3.
We definitely have. Another movie that's just not like this, but also it's a great love story in a sense, because it sort of has a love story element to it, I guess. You know, Simon and him getting back together and...
Yeah.
Modern family happening. There's this Korean movie called Three Iron that's wild, and I love it. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's all about this guy who just, like, he's a squatter, and he's squatting in this city, and then he eventually one day goes into this house that he thinks is alone, but then he finds a woman who's there, but is sort of like in an abusive relationship. She's sort of like, in a sense, you could say she's being held captive and then gets caught. And the supernatural element ends to it, and why they're going to keep their love story together. And it's brilliant.
It's called Three Iron?
Three Iron is because of, like, a club.
Oh, okay.
It's based on the golf club. I think that the other... But
I don't know golf.
It's so wild, and I love it. And it's... That's what I would suggest. Because it's just... Yeah. I don't know.
Fantastic. It comes to mind.
Yeah. I would love... I wish this movie was readily available for more people, like on streaming or...
Yeah, I wish it was easier to find.
A Blu-ray or something.
Yeah.
I hope that there's an Ang Lee box set. They should fucking... I don't know why there's not, like, an Ang Lee box set that's not out.
I mean, there might be, but just probably not in English.
Or out of stock.
In America, yeah. Thank you so much for joining me, Dave.
Of course, a pleasure.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
If you like comic books or Hellboy in specific, you can listen to my podcast with a previous guest, Kate Thompson, called Ah Crap, a Hellboy podcast. We discuss everything Hellboy, go through all the comics. If you're in LA and you want to see a comedy show, once a month I perform with a team called Small Town. It's the second Tuesday at 8:30 at the Sunset Stage. Check us out.
At UCB.
At UCB. And I also weekly host UCB Cade, the Cage Match here every Wednesday night, 11 p.m. at UCB Franklin. It's a great time. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then hire me as an actor or a director, because I'm directing now. I want to do film directing. So
fantastic. Well, if you liked what you heard, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You could subscribe to us also there on Apple Podcasts or Campfire Media, anywhere you get your podcasts, really. And you could check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook on Indie Darlings Podcast. Thank you and good night.
Hey, Hey, Rachel, Oscar.
Yeah, Claire?
Do you love Disney movies?
Uh-huh.
Have you seen them all?
Not all of them.
What do you guys think if we watch them all in chronological order and then talk about them?
Ooh. Oh, and what if we could talk about it with some of our favorite friends?
I love that.
Yeah, and what if we do it inside the Disney Vault?
You know, that's the name of our podcast, Inside the Disney Vault on Campfire Media.
Yeah, check us out on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to yours.
That's Inside the Disney Vault.
Let's go.
Campfire.